on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Bob looked like he was over there playing a Bohemian Rhapsody there for a second.
He was scrambling big time.
My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host. This is Sovereign Mind Radio. Today is March 2nd, 2013. We're streaming worldwide, and you can either call in or listen on the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. And we want to get right into our program, but Linda has an announcement on a couple of
things. Yeah, I just want to give a big shout-out to Dave and Fred out there for doing what they do best with MIAP. They were in Arizona, put 27 veterans to rest. Brought them home where they needed to be, and two spouses. I believe that some of them had been on the show for about 58 years. So Thank you very much, guys.
All right, very good. Thank you. Go ahead and go right into the video. We want to hear Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog.
Hang on.
What happened? We're having technical difficulties here.
Imagine that.
Let's start Greg over from the beginning here.
There we go.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for Friday, March 1st, Sequestration Day, 2013. Well, to say that the hype and the spin and the drama and the panic is overdone and overblown is an understatement. I mean, the mainstream media should be ashamed of itself for pounding this idea home that we can never have any budget cuts. People will lose their jobs. Why don't they look at what happens if we don't have any cuts? A dollar sell-off, a dollar rout. Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for Friday, March 1st, Sequestration Day, 2013. Well, to say that the hype and the spin and the drama and the panic is overdone and overblown is an understatement. I mean, the mainstream media should be ashamed of itself for pounding this idea home that we can never have any budget cuts. People will lose their jobs. Why don't they look at what happens if we don't have any cuts? A dollar sell-off, a dollar rout, a bond market blow-up. You know, another market meltdown, the U.S. losing its world reserve currency status, but all the, pencil-necked, tiny-brained geeks in the mainstream media can only talk about all the damage the budget cuts will do. And where do they think we're going to get that money? Everybody likes to spend money. Nobody likes cuts. I mean, think about this. Simpson-Bowles, the bipartisan commission to look at debt reduction in the next 10 years, the Democrat, the Republican, they came up with $4 trillion about $4 trillion in budget cuts and tax increases, and more budget cuts and tax increases. And that just slowed the growth of government. And what do we have? $600 billion in tax increases over the next 10 years, about $1 trillion in spending cuts, mandatory now, over the next 10 years. That's what, a third of what Simpson-Bowles was? It's the proverbial drop in the spending bucket. We have, what, a $3.6 or $3.8 trillion in spending? I can't say we have a $3.6 or $3.8 trillion budget because we have no budget. It's nothing. It's no money. And actually, this sequestration is probably the best thing that can happen to slow the amount of growth, at least some, at least a little. Maybe it'll stave off a credit downgrade that many people say is coming no matter what. A credit downgrade is coming. And, hey, check this out. That's just one battle. We have another battle coming up in May about the debt ceiling being increased. The debt ceiling. Again, you know, everything put out there just slows the growth of government. It doesn't have, we don't have a balanced budget, which we should. I mean, we're only taking in $2.5 trillion and we're spending $3.8 trillion. Unsustainable. It's unbelievable that that is not only is it unsustainable, we're going to have a calamity, a meltdown, a proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, a black swan that could take us under if we don't get control of our budget. And the sequestration fight has gotten ugly. I mean, the Obama administration, ICE, let loose detainees that were lawbreakers, that were supposed to be deported, and let them loose in the public. We don't have any money. Of course, the White House says they had nothing to do with that. Yeah, they had nothing to do with that when it blew up in their face and people were angry as hell about, you put what, criminals on the street that could rape or kill somebody or do something bad to somebody to make a political point? And then Bob Woodward, you know, the famous Woodward and Bernstein, the people that basically brought down Richard Nixon for Watergate, you know, he came out and being an actual journalist, I can't believe it, criticized the president and said things like, you know, in this sequestration deal, you know, the budget cuts, you move the goalpost by asking for more tax increases. He also said that, that the president couldn't deploy an aircraft carrier, and that's just, he's saying that he's seeing, madness, his words, that he hasn't seen in a long time. The White House is hotter than a hornet, madder than a wet hen. Basically, it's been reported by Woodward saying that somebody in the White House, high-ranking official in the White House said you would regret taking this position. You think his mainstream media buddies are rallying around the guy that brought down Nixon? I mean, this guy's hardly a right-winger, you know, Fox News aficionado. I mean, he brought down Nixon. Think anybody's backing him up saying, yeah, you know, the president did move the goalpost. And you know what? The mainstream media, the media in general, should be fact-checking and running down leads and not spin doctoring for this or any other administration, Republican or Democrat. Period. The end. That's what the media is supposed to do. Be a watchdog. Fact check. Is that true? Hold their feet to the fire. Keeping them honest. Oh, those are all, nice slogans put out there by, people out there in the mainstream media, which aren't true. And here's one for you. They just had Bernanke testifying in front of Congress. Why in the heck didn't anyone say, hey, Mr. Bernanke, you're spending $40 billion a month, officially, that's the official number by the Fed, to buy the mistakes of bankers. This stuff was supposed to be rated AAA. It was supposed to be equal to Treasury bills, which it's insane much, but now it's toxic and he's spending $40 billion a month. That's the official number. Some people say it's twice that much. Hey, well, let's just use their official number. That's almost $500 billion a year. That'd save a lot of jobs, wouldn't it? That'd put a lot of shoes on kids' feet, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that help Head Start? Wouldn't that help the military? $40 billion a month? Not a word. Not a question by either side of the aisle. Not a word. Oops. No. No, not a word. No question on, hey, what are you doing? Why are we doing that? Can't we cut that out? Hey, let's say we transfer some of that money over to, so we can retrofit our aircraft carriers and upgrade them and whatever. How about that? No. Not a question, not a word, hardly a word about the absurdity of spending this much money to prop up our banking system, to prop up the economy. Because without this $85 billion a month, the economy would implode. Period. The end. And you know what? Nobody wants cuts. I mean, cuts are painful. Cuts are supposed to be painful. It's just maddening to me watching the mainstream media, how they are basically lapdogs for the administration. And when somebody like Woodward comes out and says, hey, I'm going to call BS on the BS. Huh? Oh, you're a victim? Unbelievable. Really, quite unbelievable. And another sign, a little tip of the iceberg of how the economy really is going and it's not going well, Detroit is going to be taken over by the state of Michigan. That's a report. It's so bankrupt, so destitute, in so much trouble, it's got to be a ward of the state of Michigan, the city of Detroit. Now, do you think that they're going to turn that city around without some real cuts and real sacrifice? You know, they can't print money in the city of Detroit. Nobody's going to buy their bonds. That's a form of printing money. You think they're going to turn things around without some real sacrifice and real cuts? Huh? No. This is what's coming for America. And either America makes this decision on its own, or the markets will make the decision for them in a dollar calamity, a bond market sell-off in the treasury market, a stock market rout, higher interest rates. I mean, there are so many nasty things that could happen if we don't get our fiscal house in order. And I think we'll have, because we won't get it in order. It's going to make the Great Depression look like a walk in the park. I mean, in the Great Depression, the dollar was never questioned around the world. We were a creditor nation. And the credit rating of the United States was never in question. How's that going today? Our credit rating, we were downgraded by S&P last year. I think another one's coming. How's the dollar doing? You know, lost about 40% since 2000, 30%. How's that going? That's what I'm talking about. And that's what has to be done. And yes, cuts and staying within your budget and living within your means. Yes, that's difficult. Yes, it is. Finally, I want to say something about gold. You know, this is not a gold site, and I am not a gold expert, but Jim Sinclair of JS Mindset surely is. And let me tell you something. He says that gold is on its way to $3,500 an ounce, that this is just noise. This is just positioning. This isn't a big deal. This is just jockeying for a position. And really, when you take a look at gold going down, and Bernanke just said, oh yeah, we're going to keep printing money to infinity. Oh yeah, he just testified and said they were going to keep doing that. And gold's going down? No, gold's not manipulated in any way, is it? No. Either treasuries, either it's the stock market, either it's the housing market with the suppression of interest rates. No, gold's not. No. Well, listen, Mr. Sinclair, who's made monster calls, provable, verifiable monster calls in the past, said back in 2002 that gold would go to $1,650 an ounce by January 14th, 2011. That's when gold was trading for about $360 an ounce. That was in like December of 2002. And, you know, by June, he missed it a little, but not much. By June of 2011, it was trading for $1,650. Now, did he hit the dead center of the bullseye? No, but he was touching red. He was touching red. And he says gold's going to $3,500 an ounce and much, much higher. After all, they can't stop printing the money, according to Sinclair. Otherwise, the entire economy would implode. Another good thing to keep in mind, look at the rich people. They're buying gold and silver hand over fist. After all, it's on sale. And one other last thing. I was attacked and taken down last week, and there was a nice outpouring of people that wrote me emails and told me to not, you know, stop doing what I'm doing, and a few people used the donation button, and, you know, actually, frankly, I got to tell you, we needed the help because it was expensive to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. We were down for 2 days, and I just want to thank everybody for their support and their donations. Thank you very much for supporting USA Watchdog. That's the way I see it. I'm Greg Hunter.
Thank you, Greg. We always like him, and he's glad he's back up and running here. First quote, every collectivist revolution rides in on the Trojan horse of an emergency. With that, we're going to go to a break.
And this is KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Thanks to your faithful and generous support, the Good News Rescue Mission is able to help people transform their lives from addictions and homelessness to becoming productive citizens again. In addition to a highly successful free recovery program, the mission, over the past 5 years, has provided over 1,800 chapel services, 360,000 nights of emergency shelter, and more than 1 million hot meals to our neighbors. Thank you again for helping to transform lives. I am Cesar Partida. This is the Good News, and this is our mission.
For more info, go to GNRM.org.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Number nine dream there. Yeah, was it a dream? Yeah, freedom. Anyway, we're back. We have guests in the studio. I should have introduced my sister Linda and Bob Martin, soundboard operator and all around great guy.
Well, good morning.
And we have a guest, and I'll let Linda introduce her.
Yes, in the studio with us is Kay Wilson. She's retired from Homeland Security. How are you doing this morning, Kay?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Linda.
Let's get it some adjustment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay. So, to begin with, can you give us some background? You know, how long you were at Homeland Security and things like that?
Well, I started with immigration during the legalization program in 1987. Yeah. I started in the legalization office here in Reading. Then I was there until I was transferred down to the San Jose legalization office when the office here closed. And so I was with legalization for about 3 years. And then I went back to school and got my teaching credential. And then I got out and went back to Washington, D.C. to get a job. And they wanted me in the Washington District Office in immigration because I'd had immigration experience. And so we were, working on the cleaning up the office. There was some corruption in the Washington District Office.
I would have never guessed.
And, it was really bad. They were, some bad attorneys were paying the clerks $75 to give their clients cards.
Green cards.
Oh.
No, permanent resident. Oh, employment authorization cards.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
So it was pretty bad, and so that's what we were doing. We were trying to straighten everything up. And so then I ended up getting a job after that. I was there for about 6 years, and then I went to I got a job with the San Jose immigration office, and all this time I was working for the Immigration and Naturalization Service under the Department of Justice until 2003 when Homeland Security, we went under Homeland Security, and then 3 years after that I retired.
So you've been involved with it for quite a few years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And all different levels.
Right.
Well, we first heard you call into the program when we were talking about the immigration and the issues with Obama and his birth certificate and citizenship. And, you know, we were talking about when he was Indonesian, or in Indonesia, in order to register for school in Indonesia, you have to become a citizen. And so coming back from Indonesia, he would have to have redone his citizenship. Is that how it works?
The real issue was the adoption.
Right, right.
That's the important thing, it really needs to be looked into very carefully, and it's not an issue of Republicans or Democrats or anything else. We have a constitution, and it states that you have to be a citizen of the United States.
Right,
you know,
a natural-born citizen of the United States, which, from my research, is two parents who are both American citizens at the time of the birth. And, he doesn't qualify for that in the first place, in my opinion, but this even muddies the water even more.
Right. Well, the way it is at the time he was born, it's not hard to establish where you're born. I've had families come in with 10 kids. The mom and dad couldn't speak English. They couldn't write their native language or read their native language. The kids all had this pecking order. Each one had a particular duty, and they all worked it out, and they brought their big suitcase in, and I went through their suitcase and established what they needed to establish. Now, if some poor person, poor family can do that in a matter of probably about 30 minutes at the most, under circumstances where there's a language barrier and barriers of language with the documentation, somebody who has gone to law school certainly should know where they were born and what their citizenship status is.
Right. And so it shouldn't be that hard to prove. I mean, you know, the first thing that is, you know, controversial is his birth certificate. There's been several agencies and several people that are experts have, you know, said that it's a forgery. But on top of that, shouldn't it be really easy just to have somebody go to the Department of Hawaii and get the copy of the microfiche or examine it, or just to prove he's born there?
Well, it should be, but I've heard, it's from what I hear, it sounds like they're part of the problem.
Yeah, they're not letting anybody see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting back to the Indonesian citizenship, so if he was adopted by an Indonesian citizen, I don't remember his father's name, but there's several aliases that it seems like he's been gone under, Sobarka and Sotora and so forth. So if his father adopted him, then what's the procedure for coming back into the country and becoming a citizen?
Well, that also depends on where he was born and if he actually, in fact, had citizenship to begin with, because his mother was 18 when he was born. And at the time that he was born, in 1961, if a child was born out of the United States to a parent who was an American citizen and an alien, or a non-American citizen, they would have to, the person who was the citizen would have had to have lived in this United States for 10 years, 5 of which is after the age of 14, which would make it 19. and his mother was 18.
Wow.
So there's a problem there that needs to be addressed. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions, and it's not, I'm not going after the president because of political reasons or not. It's legal.
Yeah, there seems to be a rule of law question here, because if someone can just circumvent the law, it doesn't matter any of these rules, whether you're the president. I mean, there's supposed to be equal protection under the law or equal application of the law across the board. So if a president can just say, or a political party, or, you know, anybody can just say, hey, we're going to waive off those rules for this guy. Well, what that does basically is say there are no rules. Is that your biggest concern here?
Well, yeah, you're waiving off the Constitution, and actually, in my opinion, I'm not an attorney, but it would seem to me that they're really nullifying the Constitution because he's setting precedent. Because if we can let one person, well, then we can let, why not have Arnold Schwarzenegger run? You know, I mean, he's at least a United States citizen, even though he's naturalized.
Right. Yeah, and where does it stop? I mean, and we have a pattern of deception, lies from this administration and from Mr. Obama in particular, period. I mean, he's been caught in so many lies. There's websites that talk about how many lies he's been caught in now and that are totally provable. And so it seems that this guy has no respect for the Constitution, no respect for honesty. I mean, that's a big problem, I think. And, you know, we just talked about the media in the last segment or Greg Hunter did. These guys don't report anything. They're the lapdogs of this administration. This is starting to look like something out of the Soviet Union or Yugoslavia's, Venezuela's, Hugo, what's his name?
Chavez.
Yugoslavia's. I mean, these are serious concerns. I mean, that's funny. But when you,
it really isn't funny.
It's not really funny.
It's not funny at all.
It's strange.
It's beyond strange. And if it was anybody else besides him, they would hold our feet to the fire, so to speak,
and
make us go through the right channels.
Well,
and obey the law.
If it was John McCain, I mean, but his father was in the service, and his parents were both citizens. And if a child born to service people abroad isn't a citizen, then there's a problem. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's different than just going to school in some other country or something.
Well, and he was part of the committee that challenged John McCain's citizenship status when he was running for president back in, 2008? So he was on the committee that said, hey, does this guy really qualify as a natural born?
That
a natural born citizen. And so I just find it absolutely, and you know, I can't believe what's been going on here as far as this. So in your opinion, you know, do you think that he qualifies for natural born citizenship status at this point?
Well, I don't have all the facts and the evidence before me, what I have seen via the internet.
Yeah. Oh, you can believe everything on the internet. But you can't believe
anything.
All of a
sudden, Wikipedia becomes real good.
But you can't believe anything on the TV anymore. That's almost too, I mean, anybody who's believing anything out of the mainstream media these days is either not checking facts or is so in the tank that it's ridiculous. So we can say that for sure we know the media is not telling us the truth. And then we go to the internet. Well, we can say for sure that not everything on the internet's true. So you have to actually check facts for yourself on this stuff.
Well, I was trained to look at the preponderance of the evidence. And the preponderance of the evidence that I've been able to see appears that there's a question. And it needs to be seriously addressed. Because we're talking about the sovereignty of the country.
Yes.
Now, some people act as though it doesn't matter, and that we're the only country in the world that won't let people in, and, you know, on and on and on. It's not. In fact, somebody was saying I heard somebody suggest that maybe what we should do if we're going to have immigration reform is adopt Mexico's laws on immigration.
They're a lot tougher than ours.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is that you have to have borders in order to be a sovereign country.
Right.
And it's not, you're not discriminating. Well, you are in a sense, but it's not a capital D discrimination.
Well, it's a discrimination in favor of the citizens of that country.
Right.
Yeah, listen, I think we have to go to a break here.
Okay. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State. If you have any questions or comments for Kay, please give us a call at 605-4567.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, winter's finally here. If you've been waiting to fill your tank, now is the time. We employ some of the best delivery drivers out there. So give Danny a call and get on the dispatch. And if you're in the mountains, you might see a dog sled pull up with a 55-gallon barrel strapped on it. We will get to you. Be patient. For all the folks with no power, we have a lot of portable heaters ready to go and odorless kerosene. If you need propane, we have 25-to-1-gallon bottles ready to go. Stop by the plant, even if it's raining, we'll go outside and wait on you. If you have a small heater or an older one and you want to trade up, give Johnny or Bobby a call. We'll see what we can do to get you into a new heater, or maybe a tune-up. With everybody using online for ordering fuel or paying their bills, Kathy and Sherry are feeling a little neglected. So give them a call and say hello. 241-2196. From all of us at Northern Lights Energy, thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
It's Drake and Bill.
Hey, Drake.
Hey, Bill. Don't you just love sunbathing in the park?
Yeah, Drake. It's so relaxing just soaking up the sun. Better be careful, though. Don't want your bill to get sunburned.
Hey, Bill. You see what I'm seeing?
Oh.
That lady's dog's about to... Oh, no. Not there. Oh.
Ew. Why did you make me look at that?
Oh. No, it's cool. She's prepared. She brought a bag to clean it up. Check it out. Turn the bag inside out. Scoop. All gone. Like it never happened.
Oh, she's smart. Probably knows that if that stuff gets into the storm drains, it's going to pollute rivers and streams.
Ugh. Dogs are disgusting.
What Drake and Bill are trying to say is not everyone understands that our storm drains can flow directly into our streams and rivers. Pollutants can cause adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even ducks. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Public Works Stormwater Program.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Play a little bit.
Yeah, we should. Sure
we're in here doing the chair, the Harlem shake here.
Anyway. Yeah, Kay's even getting involved in this. Getting our exercise this morning here in the studio.
Absolutely. We're having fun at Sovereign Minds. So, with that, let's come back. Where were we? And then I also want to talk about this prisoner release thing and the deportation of the prisoners and with that free up our jail. But where were we? What were we talking about when we left?
That's a good question. Where were we, Kay?
Well, we were were we still talking about his citizenship?
Yeah, we were.
With the adoption?
With the adoption, I think, well, let's go on. Let's talk about, you were just saying that if, they should deport all of the illegal aliens, especially the ones in the prisons, because that would free up the prisons. I mean, basically, we're saying, you know, we don't have any more room for prisoners. Right. We're letting these guys be released, but how many of these guys in prison are illegal aliens that should just be deported? You know, get them on Air Force One and fly over their country and do a drop.
Well, I don't think it should matter if they're legal or illegal. I think if they're not a citizen of the United States, they came here and they committed a crime.
Oh, they violated
our laws.
Right.
And we have enough people here without importing lawless people.
Yeah, I agree. That's part of the problem.
So how much do you think the population in the prison systems would drop if, whether, you know, it's illegal or legal, you know, if we did send them back to their country?
Well, the statistics that I've heard, I think it's about 25% of the people in prison are non-citizens. And I think that, I mean, when you come to you're a visitor. If you're not a citizen of a country, you're a visitor.
Correct.
And so, you know, if you can't be good, then you should go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't want to follow our ways and our constitution,
Well, and you think about the border issue of citizenship, what's happening is that, like you said before, if we can't enforce our own borders, we're not sovereign anymore, and I think that might be part of the plan here, you know? I mean, they want this world community where everybody's kumbaya, but the real deal is that these people coming in are disrupting the country and basically putting us, they're part of this whole economic problem. Problem. They're getting benefits. They're getting, you know, they're taking jobs from Americans. So I agree with you. I think that we ought to round them all up in the prisons to start with and get rid of them. Get them out of the country.
Yes, because they haven't, whether they agreed, if they came here illegally, they didn't agree to anything. If they came here legally, then, you know, you're supposed to
follow the law?
Follow the laws of the country you're in. You know, and even if you don't agree with it, well, if you don't agree with it, go home.
Yeah, either that or, you know, like we're talking about the laws of Mexico, you know, like the Marine that went down there and...
Got imprisoned.
Yeah. Got imprisoned and he didn't even do anything wrong.
Right.
So...
Well, but that doesn't count.
I mean, it could be a miscommunication or something, but that's, you know, that's something when you go to another country... That's something that you have to be aware of.
That is a risk you take in entering that country to abide by its laws or its system.
Well, let's go full circle. Let's come back to our president. I'm not even going to call him that. He's not my president. This guy is a fraud, in my opinion. Let's come back to him. So if this guy is not a legitimate American citizen, and we have somebody who in the White House has allegiance to other than the American people and the Constitution and our freedom and our way of life, that seems to me to be a huge problem and an issue, because if that's true, there's more going on here than meets the eye.
Oh, I think there is. Personally, I think he's a puppet.
I gotta agree. I think we got the George Soros guys and we got the big banker guys and we got a lot of people with interest in controlling the government at the top through whatever means necessary. And this guy was given a ride. Where did this guy come out of nowhere? An obscurity, he wasn't even a full term senator, and all of a sudden he's getting backed by big bucks to run for president. You can't even verify where he's born. And, you know, there's so many questions about his birth, his citizenship, you know, his social security number, and the mainstream media just gives him a pass. Why is that?
I guess we have a caller on the line. It's Jim from Reading. Are you there, Jim?
Yes.
The
reason why they don't want to send back those illegals that are in prison, because they're more dangerous to us back on the loose down in our home countries than they are here in prison where we can control them.
But if they release them here, then they're on the loose here, and they're dangerous here.
Well, yeah, they are. If they I'm talking about the ones that are doing long, big time. That you're talking about, you know, 25% of them are in the prison.
Well, they would have to have an agreement with the countries, and that could take some time.
Well,
and the countries don't want them.
What it seems like is this, is that the only reason that would be so is if there's no border enforcement. And I'll tell you what my policy would be at the border if I were king. First thing that would go in effect day one, you're caught on the border crossing illegally, we start shooting you. And guess what? It would stop immediately.
Well, he's out of there to bring an army in with them and start shooting back, but I think their knowledge.
So who would bring an army
in prison? Their knowledge would be a lot more dangerous down in their hometown.
Illegal aliens would bring an army with them?
Yeah, they bring an army with them back over across the border of the.
Really?
All those illegal guns they got down there, they can do that.
So illegal aliens, if they were deported, would bring.
If they started to come back again, they would bring back. The ones that would come back with a lot more strength than what they left.
And so you don't. So you believe that. So what would stop them from doing it now if they can gather an army over there?
Right now, the ones I'm talking about, the ones that are in prison.
But they're in prison. They don't have an army. So
in prison. We know where they are.
Right. So
but you take them back out of prison, you don't know where they are.
So then what you're saying is we don't have any sovereignty already, because if we can't defend our borders from any army, whether it's drug cartels or whatever, then we don't have any sovereign border anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And the whole thing until we get that border deal tightened up down here, it'd be more dangerous to have them out down there. Right. We need to have an army at the border shooting everybody that comes across the illegal.
I agree.
But they're not all Mexicans.
Yeah.
And we have people
know that from all countries that they know that the southern border is the easiest one to cross into. So they go down and they come into Mexico, come through Mexico on their weak borders, and then come up through on ours.
It seems to me the solution's real simple. We pull all of our troops out of Afghanistan because they're doing
nothing
over there. You bring them home. You put them on the border down there. And I don't think there's any cartels down there that could compete with the United States Army.
No. If they did that, we wouldn't have a problem. But the trouble is our stupid government won't do that.
Ah, I see your point. It's a good one.
And we need to put them on the border, whether it's the southern border or the northern border.
The head chief, put him with them down there and send him down there, too.
Yeah, I agree. Instead of going on vacation to Hawaii and playing golf every other week, maybe he should be down there with the troops at the front of the line.
With his shotgun down there and do some skeet shooting.
Yeah, with Joe.
There you go.
There you go. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for
calling in, Jim. Have a great day.
Okay. We probably better take another break here real quick, Mike, and then we'll come back with our guest, Kay, and then we'll wrap it up here.
Okay, the number here is 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
And we have to skip the advertisement here. Thank you.
Away to come.
Yeah, I didn't know any. Yeah, there we go.
Hate those videos with the advertisements.
And here we go.
Oh, boy.
Just another beautiful day in the North State.
DVR recordings to your iPad with the new Hopper Transfer app. And check out the Explorer app that lets you interact with your TV through your iPad. Watch everything and go anywhere with the all-new Hopper.
You can store it, you can view it, you can really room to room it with a Hop. Where the apps are, the coolest, and the music is as smooth as with the Hop. All the cats and tricks can get their kicks with the Hop. Let's go!
calling B&T Satellite at 244-1988. That's 244-1988. Don't call the 800 number.
Can you smell it? That sweet, rich, woody smell. That smell that makes your taste buds tingle and your stomach flutter with excitement. That smell you smell is smoked. The best taste in barbecue. Brisket is here in a sliced pub roll for lunch or dinner. Only $7.50 with a choice of side. Or how about marinated riblets with a choice of side for only $6.50. All sides are made fresh with only the best ingredients. Smoked on Airport at Rancho. 365-2085. Smoked. Ribs, chicken, and killer sides.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, I just want to go wop, wop, wop.
That's the only reason you played that one.
Wop, wop, wop.
Okay. If you didn't know it, we are back. And we got Kay in the studio with us still. And Kay, is there anything that you would like to go over before we run out of time or bring out over the airwaves for people?
Well, I really hope that this is settled. You know, whether the president is what his status actually is. I'm hoping that, was it Arlie?
Arlie Tates.
Arlie Tates will be successful. She's been more successful than I think most people.
You know, there's been so many challenges, I can't even go over them every week.
Right.
It's just an ongoing thing. There's like 7 cases pending even now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes on and on and on. You got Arpaio's investigation still going on. You'd think that at some point in time, the media would pick this up and do a little investigative reporting, like Hunter was saying, and run out some leads and check, do some fact checking here. But they're obviously, on the take. I mean, there's no other explanation for it at the higher levels. They're owned by the bankers.
Well, you would think that Homeland Security would get into it,
keeping the Homeland secure would be their priority, but it seems to me like they're turning into Obama's little private Gestapo.
It's a sad thing because, I mean, if somebody can not be a citizen and be president of the United States, well then, you know, somebody could come up, maybe from Venezuela or Russia or someplace else.
Sure. We could have, Hugo. We could have him running. So you could, buy a Hugo and vote for a Hugo.
Well, we could say that people don't have enough money now in the United States to run for office, so, you know, we need to have other people run.
Yeah,
Putin. I mean, but there goes our country right down the drain.
There you go. Vladimir or bust, or, you know, Washington for Putin, I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, where does it stop? If you aren't, and you know, the real deal for me is, you know, when are we going to start following the Constitution? The whole point of this thing is that they are trashing the Constitution on every level. And, you know, the left, radical liberals, whatever you want to call them out there that don't think this matters, okay, do not have a clue. They do not understand history. They do not understand law. They do not understand why you have those protections. The Constitution was set up to protect the people from the government. Right. Once you get rid of that, you have zero protections from the government. And that what that does is that creates an environment where sooner or later you're going to get a despot and you're going to get somebody coming in here who's going to be a strong man, and you're going to end up with Stalin in power. Whether Obama is Stalin right now is not even the issue, although he looks like he could be leaning that way considering all of the things and decisions and, you know, guns going to the Muslim Brotherhood and tanks on Homeland Security and buying billions of bullets for, you know, to protect the government from the people. I'm not sure where they're going. That's the Homeland Security. Am I ranting?
Yes, you are, but
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they don't realize the stakes that are involved here.
No, I wish some of these people would go to another country and try to just walk in and live there. I mean, we don't have a place to go. American citizens really don't have a place to go.
If we don't stop this here, there's going to be no place to run to after a while because we are it. We are the last bastion of freedom. We are the only country in the world that is not subservient to their government at this point that I'm aware of, because we're the only ones that are armed to protect ourselves and defend our freedoms against our government at this point.
Just
and
for that reason.
I think what we need to do is enforce our laws, our immigration laws, and people who are good people, who have no criminal backgrounds, should go through really fast if they want to come here. Because as I always told the people before me who were good, that you're good people and any country would want to have you as their citizen.
Absolutely, because there's a lot of foreign nationals that come here that are good with computers, that are highly educated.
They bring a lot to the country for the economy and everything else.
Right,
yeah.
The whole country was based on immigration. I got no problem with immigration. I have is a problem with not following the law. No.
Well, and part of that problem is the process. The process is too slow. I think it should be slow for people who are criminals, but for people who are good people, who are good, solid people and just want to come and, you know, make a better place for their children, their families, I think that there should be a way that can be done, because we have lots of room for people like that. But we do not need to import criminals.
Right. Well, how long does the process take, basically, you know, for somebody to go through on the average?
I don't know if there really is an average. People, you know, and after home, after we had the, what's the act called?
The Patriot Act?
The Patriot Act. We had more people that we had to, we had more things that we had people, more checks that people had to go through, and double checking and checking and double checking. And I had some, and sometimes they interpreted the fingerprints wrong and said that anybody from 14 on to 150 had to be checked, whereas it used to be before 70, and that wasn't the way it was, but some people were doing it, so that was holding up these people who were like 85, 87, and I was afraid they were going to die on me and not become citizens.
Well, I totally get that we should be streamlining the process. We have a caller on the line, Pat, and we better hurry up because we're getting close to running out of time.
Okay, Pat, are you there?
Yes.
What's your question?
My question is, I'm not sure if I understood her or not. She said there's nowhere for Americans to go, and I know that there are a lot of people thinking about leaving the country because it's not the America that
we all know and love.
Supporting the Constitution. So what did she mean by that?
Well, we just can't walk over a border and decide to stay in a place.
Yeah.
We can't do that to Canada.
No, I know you. I would expect to go to another country and obey the laws there.
Right.
But are you saying that America still is the, I mean...
Well, we would have to go through the process, whatever their laws are. And, you know, like, for example, with Canada, you have to become a landed immigrant. And they're very firm on that. You know, you just can't decide that you're going to move to Canada tomorrow and move.
There are a couple of countries that are immigration friendly, in the world, that it's easy to get status and so forth.
But Switzerland?
Well, one that comes to mind is Chile, actually. But at the same time, do you want to move to Chile? And the point being here is that if we lose our freedoms here in the United States, they're not going to be very long in some of the other countries, if you ask me, because now there's no other country left to stand in the way of totalitarianism worldwide. That's the issue.
I understand now. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Pat.
Yeah,
Thanks, Pat.
We're winding down here.
We want to thank our guest, Kay Wilson, for coming in. Go ahead, Linda.
And don't forget that the gun show is going on down at the Civic Center, so get down there. The doors open at 9. So it's 9 to 5 today and 9 to 4 tomorrow. So hope to see you down there.
Okay, let's see. I'm not going to do Franklin's Virtues. We'll save that for next week because we're down at the end. Let's see. Keep stacking and storing. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And we'll see y'all next week. Have a great week.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Kay. This is KCNR Shasta Ready. Kurt Largent is next.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. As he visits Egypt on his first Middle East tour as Secretary of State, John Kerry is in a country full of protests. Demonstrators setting fire to vehicles at a police station in Port Said. Activists around the country accusing government officers of crushing one person to death with an armored vehicle. An Associated Press reporter says five protesters were struck by a police car. Kerry, meanwhile, is in Cairo,
where Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi has offered no clear apology for comments he made in 2010, caught on videotape, in which he called Jews the descendants of apes and pigs. The Obama administration is weighing whether to help Egypt secure a $4.8 billion loan from the IMF and whether Morsi should be welcomed to the White House later this year.
Fox's James Rosen in the Middle East. The work continues around that sinkhole that has already swallowed one man east of Tampa.
Crews are using a large drill machine to test the soil around here because they're not sure exactly how large that